I just want to share this morning a little bit more on the series of teaching I've been doing on the fullness of the Eden blessing. A few weeks ago we started off thinking about life in the Garden of Eden, life in Eden. We read from Genesis chapter 2. And just some of the things the Bible says about life in the garden. But I want you just to think for a few moments this morning as we just get into what I'm going to share. And I don't expect to be very long this morning, but just consider what life was like in the garden. You know, it was a beautiful place, a place of beautiful plants, beautiful trees, beautiful animals walking through the garden. You know, there was no fear of being attacked by an animal. You know, not like people perhaps today are frightened of dogs or snakes and things of that nature. But, you know, they were all in the garden and everything got on in perfect harmony. You know, the garden was bursting forth with life of every sort. Something that was clear from looking at the garden in Genesis is that there was no need to work. You know, God caused everything to grow. God caused the dew to come down in the morning and water the earth so that the vegetation grew, so that the flowers grew, the trees grew, the bushes and the shrubs. There was certainly no death or decay in the garden. And that always gives me a great deal of pleasure when I think about that. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen these cartoons on the telly where, you know, they make it so that somebody walking across something like a field and or a field of flowers, and, you know what happens if you walk on the grass today or through a flower bed, you know, you put your foot down, you crush the plants. And you crush the brush. But if you see these cartoons where somebody's walked across, they just spring back up. You know, no death, no decay in the garden. And that's what it would have been like. Now, there could be no death. You couldn't kill the plants. Because life in Eden was life. And that's what it was all the time. No flowers that wilted or withered. No leaves that turned brown and dropped off the trees. No flowers losing their petals. I just want to let your imagination just be filled with that this morning. That everything about the garden was beautiful and it was bursting with life. And that's already been said this morning that next week is the first day of spring. And, you know, in a couple of weeks we'll be adjusting the clocks to go forward into British summertime. You know, when we get to this time of the year, everything is about new life. We're thinking of new life. You know, there's been a program, I don't know if you watched any of it this last week on the telly, this Lamb in Life with Kate Humble. She's been going through and, you know, waiting, not knowing what to expect, but hoping to see lambs. You know, it's a time when everybody's thinking about new things. They do what we call the spring clean. You know, refreshing our homes and the places we live. You know, this whole time of this whole season is about life. You know, that's what I want to share this morning, about life. Not so much life, perhaps as we understand life, but I want to talk about the life of God. Particularly in relation to the Garden of Eden, or the Eden blessing. Because in Eden they had access to life all the time. It was bursting forth with life. In the middle of the garden, God planted two trees. One was the tree of life. You know, they had free access to the life-giving fruit of the tree of life. You know, they could just pluck up the fruit and eat. The word we use, or the Bible uses this word, it says that. And that's always been his purpose for his creation. You know, God created man to live. I'm not talking about living a short span of a few years, but I'm talking about living abundantly, eternally. In the book of Genesis, perhaps you can turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 2. I just want to read a verse 7. And it says this, in Genesis 2 verse 7 it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Just listen to what it says in that verse. It says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Then it says, "He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." In the previous chapter, in chapter 1, verse 26, you know, when God is creating the world, he's creating the heavens, creating the earth, and everything in it, we get to verse 26, and then he decides and discusses it with the Godhead. He says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of sea," and it goes on. It says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Man, the very first man, and you and I, and you know, everyone that's of mankind has come from Adam. Man was created in the image and likeness of God. And God is life. God is eternal. And that's how we were first created. When man was first created, he was created a living being. Not someone that just existed for a few years, but a living, eternal being in the image and likeness of God. And this verse in chapter 2 tells us that God breathed the breath of life into man. That word, breath, is the same word in Hebrew that's translated as spirit elsewhere in the Bible. You know, God took something of himself. He took his spirit and breathed that into the life of into man. He put it into, imparting to man his own spirit. A man was filled with life. He was filled with that life. You know, that life that comes from God, that God life, man was filled with. A man was created, that's what we read here in verse chapter 1, verse 26. It goes on, it says, "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And it goes on in verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the face of the earth.'" God breathed his own spirit into this lifeless man, and he became a living being. And God created him to operate just like he did. To have dominion and authority on the earth. Man was created like that. But we know it all went wrong. Because man sinned, man fell, man was disobedient. Man was tempted of the devil. And they said, you could touch the tree that God had said you can't have. You know, God's command was this, don't touch that tree, and the day you touch it, you're going to die. And it wasn't, when he says you're going to die, that wasn't talking about death as we know it, you know, going the way of the grave. This was a, you know, that life of God was going to be taken away. It was going to be removed from it. You know, that life of God would be non-existent in him. That eternal, abundant life would die. Would come to an end. A man sinned, man did what he God had told him not to do. And because of that sin, Romans tells us that death is spread to all men. But something that's interesting, even after man had sinned and man had fallen, man had come short, man had been cast out of the garden. We read that at the end of chapter 3 of Genesis, that man was cast out of the garden. It says, lest he put out his hand and touch and take of the tree of life. But even after all that happened, in part, the life of God was still effective in him. And that's why when we read in the scriptures, we read before the flood, that men and women lived long lives. Methuselah was the last of those. He lived to 969 years. The longest living being, as we know, life. But those pre-flood patriarchs lived a long time. It was because the life of God was working in them. The life of God was still having an effect in their life. You know, although they were in sin, death as we would perhaps understand it, going the way of the grave, was having to work a lot harder to get them. Because the life of God was in operation, or still having an effect in their life. Even though, yes, they died because they sinned, even though that life had been cut short, yet they were still able to, perhaps not the word live isn't right, perhaps the word exist is a better word, exist for those number of years. But death spread, lives became much shorter. And that brings us to the reason that Jesus came. Because God had seen this, what had gone on in Eden. And he knew it wasn't part of his purpose and his plan for mankind. Because God always wanted you and me to live abundant lives. To live eternal lives. That's always was his plan. And that's, we're heading that way. We'll talk about when we go to heaven. You know, it's an eternity. You know, right now we're in Christ, the Bible says that we have eternal life. You know, that's what God is supposed to bring and turn the tables and turn it right around to bring us back to the place that we had in Eden. Created to have abundant and eternal life. And so God had a plan. We sang about it this morning in that hymn. You know, all the love that drew salvation's plan. Salvation's plan, that was his God's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty goal that God did span. Where? At Calvary. That was God's plan. Calvary. And God had to get himself into the earth. And that's another study, another message. But eventually Jesus came. He was born of a virgin. Born in Bethlehem. You know, Jesus, the Son of God. God himself, in human form. I want you to turn with me this morning to John's Gospel chapter 10. I want to read just one verse, and that's verse 10, a very well-known verse. And again, this verse has been quoted this morning. In this verse, Jesus declares his purpose for coming. verse, Jesus himself says his reason that he came to earth. Now we touched on a little bit on this on Tuesday night, that Jesus said, he said, I am the door in verse 9. Or I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. And then in verse 10, it says here, verse 6, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then it is Jesus' purpose. He says, the reason he came, he says, but I have come. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus came that man might have life. Not life in a few extra years, but this is God's life, the life of God. I came that they, this is another translation, puts it like this, says, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. I just like that translation. First time I heard that read, that's the Amplified translation. You know, I immediately went to my Bible and marked, you can see it written there, if you want to look at it, I marked it, Amplified, to the full, till it overflows, written in, I came that they may have and enjoy life, have it in abundance, to the full, until it overflows, that Jesus came that you might have that life. Jesus came so you can have the kind of life that God wants you to have. And that's not a life full of misery, a life full of pain, and a life full of defeat and worry and all sorts of things that are going on in the world today. Jesus, a phrase I heard a few years ago, was something, I think it's something along the lines of this. It says, live life to the max. I don't know where I heard it, but I heard somebody say that. Live life to the max. That's the sort of life God wants us to have. Life that is to the full. Until it's overflowing. Until we can't prevent it from bubbling up and overflowing in us. You know, this word, I'll give you a quick lesson here. This word, life in this verse, says, I have come that they may have life. It's a word which in the Greek is a word, a little word, Z-O-E, which is Zoe. And that word means, yes, it means life. But I want you to look, listen to what, this is one of a great Bible teacher and a Bible scholar. His name was W.E. Vine, and he compiled a dictionary of New Testament words. And in that dictionary, he goes through and he explains the meanings of different words and, you know, how they been brought together. A lot of the Hebrew words, he didn't do Hebrew, but a lot of the Hebrew words are a combination of two words or three words compounded together to make new words. And similarly, in the Greek, words have root meanings. But so in this dictionary, this expository dictionary, goes through and clearly explains all the different meanings of the words found in the New Testament. And he says of this word Zoe, or this word that's translated life, he says about it that it's this: it is life as God has it. That which the Father has in himself. And that's what Jesus came to give you and me. And that's what Jesus came, that's what Adam and Eve had in the garden before they fell. They had the life as God has it. He breathed into their nostrils the breath of life. God imparted into Adam and Eve himself. And Jesus came to impart the very life of God into you and me. Jesus came to give us abundant life, life in all its fullness. Now don't mistake abundant life and everlasting life. Yes, the everlasting life is that what we receive when we come to know the Lord as our Savior. The moment we're born again is the word we use. We say we've been born again, or we've received eternal life. everlasting life. That means we will never die. Not saying we will never physically die. Because don't forget, the life of God is eternal. It goes on and on. This is just a shell that we live in, a carcass that, you know, God has given us to live in. And one day we're going to move home. We're going to move. We're going to get rid of this home, this shell, this carcass. We're going to lay it down and we're going to move home. This is our earth home, this body that we live in. This is the body that we, a house that we live in while we're here on earth. But one day we're moving, we're going home. And we don't need this body there. So we're going to lay it down. We're going to get rid of it. And we're going to take up our new body. And that's everlasting life. That's what we receive the moment we're born here. But abundant life is about living and enjoying life to the max, to the full. An overflow of life. Life as God has it. The same kind of life that was breathed into Adam at creation. And it's a life of dominion and authority. A life operating the way that God operates. But you know how God operated? Genesis 1, it says that he spoke and things happened. You know, it's the life of God that in Adam, and you can read this if you want to do a study on those first few chapters of Genesis, Genesis 1, 2 and 3. It was the life of God in Adam. This beast with two big floppy ears and a long trunk. But it was Adam that says that's going to be an elephant. It was Adam that called the lion a lion. And the tiger a tiger. So there in the scriptures, in Genesis 2 verse 9, it says, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. Notice it didn't say that God breathed life into the animals, like he breathed life into man. He formed them. And he brought them to Adam, it says, to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. See, Adam spoke, and it was. Just the same way as God spoke, and it was. God said that there'd be light, and there was light. God said, let the earth produce, and the earth produced. Adam spoke and said, let that be called elephant, and it was called elephant. Let that be called tiger, and it was tiger. And Adam operated exactly the same way as God, and that's what God wants to restore to his church. To you and me today in 2010. Jesus came to impart the life of God into you and me. I have come that they may have and enjoy the life as God has it. Or, I have come that they may have and enjoy that life which the Father has in himself. And have it in abundance. Not just in part, not just on a Sunday when we meet, not just when we come together, but we have an abundance. We live it to the full until it overflows. Jesus came that we might have life, the life of God. You know, the life of God, what is there in? You're not going to tell me that God is sick and broke. That God is fed up. They might be angry at what's going on in the world, the way people treat him. But he's certainly not fed up, he's not miserable, he's not broke, he's not sick. Jesus came to give us that sort of life. Life that God has. That which the Father has in himself. You know, it's so simple. All we have to do is receive it by faith in Him. All we have to do is open our hearts up to Him and say, yes, Jesus, I want that life that you came to give. Now, to give us that life, then Jesus had to die. And that's what we remembered this morning as we came to the communion table. It meant that in order that we might have life, Jesus had to give His life. God Himself had to give His life. And Jesus did that for you and me. He did that so that we could have life. So we could receive the life of God. And all we have to do is receive it. Nothing else we need to do. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. We don't work for it. It's freely given. But we can freely receive it. Now we're going to come and pray in these closing moments of our service this morning. And Jesus came that we might have a life. Maybe your life, or what you think of as life. And perhaps you don't really like it. Maybe you don't enjoy the way you live. Well, I heard one preacher put it like this once, and I liked it so much I'm going to say it this morning. If you didn't like the way you were born the first time, get born a second time. Get born again. If you don't like the life that you have right now, let Jesus give you new life. That's the reason He came. That's the reason Jesus... Yeah, we might have... But it was all part of God's plan. Right from the very Garden of Eden. Because God wanted us to live in the blessing that He put in Eden. And the only way He could do that was to get Himself into the earth to restore what Adam. And the only way God could get rid of that was to put Himself in the place where He took that punishment for you and me. The Bible says that the wages of sin, this is His death. But God's gift is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We're going to pray right now. You know, this morning in the quietness of your heart, only you know where you are. And only you know your situation. You know, if this morning God has been ministering to you, you say, yeah, I want that life. I want that kind of life that Jesus came to give me. I want you to do something very simple this morning. It's not going to embarrass you or make you stand out. And not that we've got crowds here this morning, but I want you to ask, if you've been here listening to me, you say, yeah, I want that type of life that I've been talking about. I want you to do something very simple. I just want you to slip your hand up and say, yeah, pray for me. So I'm going to pray right now. Just put your hand up and say, if you want me to pray for you, I will include you in the prayer. But I'm going to pray. The only person that will see your hand is me. No one else is looking. Just pray for me, Pastor Peter. I want that life that Jesus came to give me. Father God, we just give you thanks and praise this morning. Lord, for the life that you came to give us. Lord, the very life of you yourself, the life of God. Life as you have it, as you know it. Father, what our understanding of life is, Lord, governed by time. Lord, it's governed by situations. Lord, it's governed by other things, Lord, going on around us. But Lord, that we might have a vision this morning of, Lord, that abundant life that you came to give us. Lord, life that emanates from God. And Father, just pray, Lord, as Lord, we're thinking, Lord, at this time of the year, Lord, of everything about new life, Lord, new beginnings, Lord, fresh starts, Lord, Lord, you just breathe your life, Lord, into us this morning. Lord, give us a fresh beginning. Lord, a new start. Lord, give us, Lord, new life. Father, thank you for your promise that you said if any man or woman is in Christ, belongs to you, Lord, you said, Lord, that they are a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Lord, that means a new life, Lord, a new start, a new beginning. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that this, Lord, we just bring our service to a close this morning with a song, Lord, that, Lord, you're just, Lord, impart, Lord, that new life, Lord, to us right now. Lord, that we would receive. Lord, we receive it by faith. We open our hearts, Lord, to receive that which you've got for us. So, Father, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.